Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, wacky devils and demons. This is Nurse Hatchet. You are listening to the Wolf Pack.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to experience may be the most exciting night of your life. Your seat will start rumbling. Your heart will start to pound. But don't be alarmed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you came here for. The party starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, coming at you loud, live, and direct from the darkest depths of your imagination. Welcome.
You are listening to An Awakening in Horror with host William Pattison on the Wolfpack Presents.
You're Satan, aren't you?
Oh, boy, I could never sit through this without a couple of beers, you know?
Radio has changed our lives, and possibly saved our lives. Radio has changed our lives, and possibly saved our lives. Radio has changed our lives, and possibly saved our lives.
Oh, yeah! I want to tell you about this city radio, man. In the new castle, super town, yeah! A world of magic lands in the chemical blues. A world where you can't see unknown and why is the zero. Yeah, rugged sounds is on my radio. Running mortal lashes of protest, galio. Glittering fountains, misspent youth. I'm the rhinestone tiger in a leisure suit.
Excellent day for an exorcism.
I'll do you one thing, man. Nothing ever happens until you medicate the witch queen of Mondo and hail the family of King George. Everybody is eating a mayhap of the gods with their plastic necks and their silver teeth. Oh, yeah!
Yeah, is there light beyond what you know? Hallucinations lies in my stereo. Astonishing selfish, wasted youth. She's an angel of all in a perfect suit.
Rubs the lotion on its skin. Else gets the hose again.
Yes, who?
That's an intro.
Yes, it is.
Everyone, this is William Pattison, a.k.a. Eric Morris,
and I want to welcome you to another edition of An Awakening in Horror here on the Wolfpack Presents. Well, it is an incredibly muggy night here in San Mateo, California. I'm serious. I am sweating right now. I've even got my overhead fan on. It is that uncomfortable here. I don't know what it is, but, you know, winter is over here in San Mateo, California. And actually, you know, it's funny. You know, the radio show is set for Eastern time. So, officially for the radio show, it's Friday the 13th. Whereas here in San Mateo, we've got like 3 hours before Friday the 13th begins. So, interesting. Anyway, so why I mention that is because, you know, though I actually promoted this as a Friday the 13th special, this isn't going to be. No, the thing is that there was something more important that I needed to acknowledge tonight instead of it just being a Friday the 13th. Because, you know, in the last 2 weeks, I've lost two very important people that were in my life. And I will give you a little thing to jog your memory on this. So, anyways, here's a little reminder.
We are assembled here today to pay final respects to our honored dead. And yet it should be noted that in the midst of our sorrow, this death takes place in the shadow of new life, the sunrise of a new world, a world that our beloved comrade gave his life to protect and nourish. He did not feel this sacrifice a vain or empty one, and we will not debate his profound wisdom at these proceedings. Of my friend, I can only say this. Of all the souls I have encountered in my travels, his was the most human.
Others?
Eulogy for Mr. Spock from Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. Actually, believe it or not, those words were actually written by myself years ago. when I worked with an incredible gentleman who also died this week. Mr. Harv Bennett. Harv was an incredible man. People who are into 70s television series will remember him. He was the producer and the creator of the $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman. I met Harv in around, what was it, March, I believe, of 1981. March 2081. The thing was that I was in L.A. and I was there because I was a member of WISH, the William Shatner Fan Fellowship, which was an organization of fans, and they would put on a meeting every year in L.A. President of WISH, Sonny Cooper, was a friend of mine, and she was a liaison to William Shatner. She actually, it was because of Sonny Cooper that I became friends with William Shatner and knew him and his wife, Marcy, for many years. We've kind of parted ways a number of years ago, not really... that we had any fighting or anything, just, busy life things, how that is. But Sonny Cooper was also responsible for getting me to meet Harv Bennett. Because Harv Bennett, this was right after he got assigned to do Star Trek II. And he was having trouble. He had been on the job only a couple months, I believe, when he went to the WISH meeting. Yeah, it was a big ass meeting. We had like 100 people at the Sheraton Burbank. Anyways, so Sunny, because she knew me, I was like an encyclopedia of Star Trek. She sat Harv down next to me and said, "This is the person that I think you should talk to, Harv. His name is Bill Pattison, and he can probably help you out." It totally blows me away thinking about this. She sat a producer, a person who has produced television, written for the screen and that, put him next to a 17-year-old boy and says, "This boy can help you out." And that was a life-changing moment for me. It really was. I was only supposed to be in L.A. for a few days, but I ended up spending almost 6 weeks in L.A. after that, because Harv and I sat and talked and I gave him advice. I talked to him about my ideas on Star Trek, you know, what I learned, because I was a Trekkie. I knew Star Trek like the back of my hand. I knew all 79 episodes, you know. You couldn't have a better person to help him out. So Harv asked me to stay and help him get him Star Trek literate and that, because the fact was he had only watched 2 episodes of Star Trek in his life. He'd watched Arena and he'd watched The Trouble with Tribbles. So the first thing I did is I suggested, since he was having me stay in L.A., and he was paying for my hotel and shit, out of the budget, some of the budget for the damn film, I suggested that we go and watch all 79 episodes. And that's what we did. We did a marathon, sat there, and watched. And this was a rare honor for me, because Harv took me to Paramount Studios. I got to see the Star Trek offices. I got to go into a screening room at Paramount and sit there and watch all 79 episodes of Star Trek in the original copies. These incredibly beautiful copies of Star Trek with scenes I'd never seen. These were the uncut, complete episodes. You know, you'll find them now on DVD with the enhanced special effects now. Ugh. To go there. And I saw Gene Roddenberry's chronometer on the desk. I got to see on the door of the office, the Star Trek office, that the K on Star Trek had pretty much faded away. So it said Star Trek on the door. And in that office, I sat with Harv Bennett, and we came up with a story. We came up with a bunch of stories. But the one that resonated the most was the one that I really fought for, because it was one of my favorite episodes of Star Trek. I was the one that suggested Space Seed and to bring in Khan, because he was the perfect villain for this, what we needed to do. Because the thing was that Paramount was not happy with Star Trek the Motion Picture. They had asked Gene Roddenberry to create something that would compete with Star Wars, because Star Wars had just come out. And they had wanted laser battles and stuff. They didn't want 2001 A Space Odyssey. But Gene and the people that were involved in Star Trek the Motion Picture, they did the science fiction that they wanted. They wanted pure science fiction. And they gave the audience pure science fiction. But Paramount wanted something different. They wanted an exciting thing. A lot like what's happened with J.J. Abrams. You know, when they turned Star Trek over to him, they wanted to have an exciting show. So, you know, the difference between J.J. Abrams and Harv Bennett was Harv knew how to keep the heart of the show. He knew how to write, you know, with together with me, we knew how to write morality tales. People who know me know my writing style. They know that I write morality tales. And that is what Star Trek II was in its heart. It was about vengeance. It was about family. It was about emotion, about friendship. It was the classic story of Moby Dick, which is one of my favorite adventure books. I love Moby Dick. I've always have. You know, it's a classic. It's a classic idea of a morality tale. And we created this thing. I had to go home. Harv went and finished the script for Star Trek II. I had given him notations. I had given him lines and stuff and that. And he and Nick Meyer created the film as we see it. Then later on, I came back again and did help. You know, Harv had me come on and help him with Star Trek III. And I wrote an entire sequence from Star Trek III. I did little scenes in there. It's from the scenes where Kirk is, you know, breaking Dr. McCoy out of the brig, all the way through the stealing of the Enterprise. That's all my writing. Anyone who knows my writing, anyone who knows me, will see it. Me. It is really me, my writing. You know, I've heard a bunch of jackasses online because I brought out the fact that I worked on Star Trek II and Star Trek III. They sit there and say, oh no, he's a liar, he's a stick fuck. You know, he lied about Harlan Ellison, he's a fucking bullshit. You guys just keep fucking twisting the truth, fucking playing your little fucking games because you're little pathetic losers. Seriously. I worked on Star Trek II. I worked on Star Trek III. I worked with that incredible man, Mr. Harv Bennett. Harv inspired me. He changed my life, people. He fucking changed my life. He gave me a boost of confidence, pushed me from being a kid who didn't know where he wanted to go to an author. And then, and doing more screenwriting to the man that I am today. And everything that I have done that is great has been sourced to that moment that I met this incredible man, Mr. Harv Bennett. Harv died at 84. Had an incredible life. He had an incredible career. Leonard died. Leonard was my childhood. He was one of my heroes. Him and Bill Shatner were my heroes growing up. They taught me so many things. You know, you sit there and you talk about, oh, Captain Kirk was so lame and that Spock was so lame. Bullshit. They taught me a moral code. And that moral code has been in my writing. It has been everything. It is the thing that made me the man that I am. Seriously. And as I wrote at the beginning of Star Trek III, that line that I wrote, the death of Spock is like an open wound. Well, the death of Leonard and Harv is like an open wound to me. They meant a lot to me, and I just want to say goodbye to them and tell them you did so much for me. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have had the courage to do the Camp Crystal Lake novels. I wouldn't have had the courage to write The Traveler. I wouldn't have had the courage to write and work on the Horror Seasons or work on Psychotic State or Midnight Matinee Psycho or that I've done. Your moral grounding that you embedded in me made me the fighter that I am, that I fought all these years to help the horror community. I love you guys. I really do. You meant so much to me. And this is a tribute to you. This is me telling you thank you and it means the world to me. So, goodbye, Harv. Goodbye, Leonard. And keep America strong. Watch horror films, guys. I'm done here.